Welcome to the Hitting the Canvas Inside Pulse Wrestling Pulsecast. It is Thursday, August 29th. We are in the dying days of summer here, getting into the fall season. Got the NFL coming around the corner and a bunch of other things, kids going back to school. But if you're listening to the show, you're here because you want to talk about wrestling, and that is the purpose of the show. This is the debut of the new bi-weekly show that myself and my fellow co-host and HCC writer, Ken Doherty, are taking care of in the absence of Matt. Matt will, again, obviously be joining us for our Top 5s, which we'll be doing every other week. But the HCC Pulsecast used to be a show where we do 2 weeks on and 1 week off. And because of you guys, listeners, and our popularity that seems to be growing with every episode, we've turned it into a bi-weekly show where now we'll do our Top 5s 1 week like we did last week. And this week turns into a live show where myself and Cam will talk about anything you want in the wrestling-related world. You want to talk WWE. I know that's pretty much the majority of most of our talk. Today we're going to talk a little bit of TNA too, maybe some NXT later as well. But our topic discussion can pretty much vary by whatever you want to talk about. And that's why we gave out that number. I know myself and Matt have put it out on our Twitter feed. It was on Inside Pulse from HTC earlier today. The number you want to call if you want to talk anything wrestling related, like I said, Raw, Impact, you want to bring up past top fives that we've talked about, future top fives, past of wrestling, anything you can think of that you think you want to talk about and hopefully me and Cam can answer or give your opinions on, you can just call us. The number is 818-532-9786. Again, it's 818-532-9786. If you're listening and you end up wanting to give us a call, it'll be pretty simple. I will introduce you by your area code. I'll ask you to state your name and where you're from, and we'll go with whatever you want to go with from there. I will say, though, like Matt said at the end of the show last week, we want to have a nice, civil discussion about wrestling. I have no problems. I'm sure Cam doesn't as well. If you have a different opinion than we do, no problem. We'll talk about it. We'll discuss it. But if you act unruly, uncivil, if you swear every other word and just are overall a rude general prick, I will not be afraid to cut you off. I have a degree in media production. I know how talk radio works for the most part, so I know when things sound like they're getting bad, so I will cut you off if I feel like they are. So let's get into this real quick. The number is 818-532-9786. I know it's our debut show doing this. Hopefully we get at least one person calling in tonight. I don't want to have to beg halfway through the show, so let's hope it doesn't get to that point. So, but after that long introduction there, Cam, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Like I said, it's the dying days of summer, so the heat's dying down here in California, which is always a good thing.
And which is weird here because the heat's actually still picking up here in Buffalo, so it's the complete opposite there. So, like I said, if you're listening to us, you want to give us a call, give us a shout. If you're in your dorm room, packing in, getting stuff in there, you got nothing else to do, give us a call. Anything you want to do, give us a call. I'm sure you're not watching the last game of the NFL preseason, because I'm pretty sure there's nobody watching the last game of the NFL preseason. I know myself personally, I do not want to see Matt Leinart quarterbacking for the Bills right now. So that's why I'm doing this show right here. So, like I said, we got a lot to talk about this week. Raw, obviously, there was a pretty good couple strong points, and I think later the majority of what we're going to talk about probably revolves around the main angle involving Daniel Bryan and Triple H. But today, probably for the first time in maybe ever in the history of the HCC Pulsecast, we're going to start briefly with, I can say briefly, it depends how long we go, with TNA. There was a couple newsworthy items this week that came out of TNA involving a couple of different people. I'll throw this one over to Cam if he wants to start talking about it. The news that came out with Hulk Hogan and the new whole WWE 2K14 video game with the Legends or the 30 years of WrestleMania mode that it has going on right now. So Cam brought this up to me before the show started, so I figured I will give him the stage since I've been talking about this whole show so far. And let Cam start off here with the news involving Hulk Hogan and then Eric Bischoff and the whole new WWE video game. So why don't you take it away, Cam.
Well, first off, I'll start with the whole Hulk Hogan coming out and saying that Eric Bischoff should run TNA and that they have the whole heat going on, I guess, within TNA about, you know, Hulk Hogan not even appearing on any of their road shows lately. So, I mean, a lot of the fans that are probably buying, like, the, you know, $100 seats, the TNA even has $100 seats for ringside, they're real disappointed they don't get to see a 60-year-old Hulk Hogan. And just overall, like, the whole heat thing going on with TNA and Eric Bischoff yesterday coming out and just basically bashing the internet fans and internet writers like Justin, myself, and Matt, as he always does, basically just, you know, calling us marks and saying we don't know anything but business. And he said that there's no possible way that Hulk Hogan signed any sort of deal with the WWE to be in the game, that they're just using rehashed stuff. And the interview came out today with Corey Leedsman. I'm not sure if I could say his last name right. He's the head creative guy for all the WWE games for a while now. He came out and said pretty much basically the opposite, that Hogan signed some sort of deal with 2K. And just like with the Ultimate Warrior, you know, kind of out in the air, like no one really knows what's going on, but it looks like we might get another Hulk Hogan run in the WWE, which, God, I hope not. But other than that, and we talked about that's basically how I don't know how you feel about it, Justin, but I don't really think Hulk Hogan needs another run in the WWE. It'd be kind of pointless at this point, especially with the WWE, how hot it is, especially with their, you know, their own guys. They don't need to bring somebody, you know, that's not within the company to spark the WWE when they don't really need it right now.
Yeah, I mean, as far as seeing Hulk Hogan again in the WWE as a full-time performer, I don't think I'd want, first of all, obviously I know he wouldn't come back as a full-time performer, but in any type of role, even if he's in right now at TNA, I don't think I'd want to see that. I mean, there's going to be the nostalgic pop. I'd like to see him maybe come back for a one-off kind of thing, like at WrestleMania 30, with it being the 30th WrestleMania. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing him doing kind of something similar that he did at WrestleMania 21 with where he came back and stopped Muhammad Hassan from beating up Eugene, maybe like a little cameo like that. But I don't think I'd want to see him as a full-time performer or as a full-time, even like authority-like figure in the WWE anymore. I mean, they already have guys like Brock Lesnar working a part-time schedule that they kind of try to build as a top attraction. They have The Rock, if he decides to come back again, take part and be some kind of part-time attraction like that. And the thing is, with Hulk Hogan, there's not really any type of matches left that you want to see, especially at his age. I don't even think he can work a regular 15 to 20-minute match that you want to see out there. I mean, they had their opportunity a couple of years ago. I believe it was at WrestleMania 25. There was rumors, I think, that they were going to do Hogan against John Cena there, and then Hogan had a back injury and had to back out, and then John Cena got thrown into the world title match. I mean, you know what? You want to see Hulk Hogan versus CM Punk? I'd much rather see if they're going to bring CM Punk face another part-time guy at a one-time-off big match at WrestleMania. I'd much rather see that obviously be Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's the match that I think everybody wants to see. And as far as Hogan goes, I think he's one of those guys that, like I said, he's going to get the nostalgia pop whenever you hear Real American. There's no doubt in my mind the crowd's going to go crazy. Everybody's going to be on their feet, and they're going to love it. But it's one of those things that wears thin, I think, after a while, as far as that goes. Like, I think it won't be safe if he's on the show every other week or every week for a couple months. I just don't think it's going to be like that. And Hogan's the type of guy that you know is going to want to have final say in everything. And especially with the way the product is right now and how hot it is, I don't think that's something that I'd want to see ruined as far as that goes. As far as Eric Bischoff goes, I mean, I'll give it to him. He was a great writer at his time for WCW, but, you know, we're not saying that we're the kings of everything over here in the, and we know everything that's going on here, but we know that Hogan's making a lot of money. He's not really helping TNA that much in the ratings. What is there left for him to do there? I mean, I don't think, God forbid, I don't want to see him wrestle Bully Ray for the TNA world title. I don't think that should happen. I just don't think there's anything left for Hogan to do in TNA that would help them boost their ratings or get them higher up in the eyes of the wrestling world or even just the national media world. I mean, they're already trying that with Tito Ortiz and Rampage Jackson, and that's kind of working, but even I don't think that's going to do anything for them in the long run. If I'm TNA at this point, I almost just want to, I think, like, which pretty much everybody agrees with, and I think probably you, Cam, too, is that just cut their ties with Hogan and Bischoff, let them move on, and start building their talent around the guys that they have there, guys like their Magnuses, guys like We'll talk about this in a little bit. Guys like their AJ Styles, even guys like Bully Ray, who's pretty much the veteran, a big veteran presence now in that locker room, and might be doing some of the best work in his career here as the leader of Aces and Eights. So if I were them, I would just try to get out of that Hogan contract as quickly as possible. I don't know what you think about it, Cam, but I just think for TNA overall, I think it's just best, like I said, cut ties, move on, start a new chapter, if you want to call it that, in your story, in your professional wrestling company's career, and move on from there.
Yeah, I agree. TNA is a sinking ship. I don't know if you guys or any of the listeners out there have listened to the new Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast with Rick. Well, the second newest one, I guess the newest one came out today, but the second newest one where he talked with Ric Flair for like 90-something minutes. I mean, it's riveting, riveting internet listening material. I mean, he basically buries TNA and says he doesn't know how much longer they'll be around. And if I'm TNA, like you said, they need to cut ties with Hogan and Bischoff and anyone that they're paying, you know, millions of dollars or close to $1 million or anything of that nature. They just need to cut ties because they're losing money fast. And if they want to stay relevant, I mean, they're good for professional wrestling. The more companies there are, the more, you know, guys that have jobs and the more writers that have jobs and the more production guys that have jobs and, all down the line. So it's just better for the whole, you know, wrestling business in general if they stay around. And, you know, everyone likes to make fun and all this stuff, but if this company goes away, 95% of the roster is just going to be working the indie scene again, so you're not even going to be able to watch them on television. And I doubt the WWE will even want to pick up on any of the guys. Like, you know, it came out recent report of the WWE not really being interested in anybody in TNA, and I totally agree. I mean, there's the AJ Styles thing going on, which we'll talk about here next. But, I guess we just jump right into it. I don't think the WWE should sign AJ Styles. I am a fan of AJ Styles. I think he's a great worker. But you throw him in the mid-card, and what do you have? You mean you have another guy that can work and with nothing to do? I mean, he's going to be another Dolph Ziggler. He'll be another Christian or a Cody Rhodes or something like that, where they won't really have anything for him after his first feud, and then he'll just be on the roster and he'll be used. And it's kind of a waste of time. I think what they have going right now is good. I mean, they don't need Jeff Hardy. I know if they find Samoa Joe, I know CM Punk would, love that instantly, but I don't think they'll do that. I mean, the only person I could see them really signing that could be a major player, I think, is Austin Aries. I think he could be the next Randy Orton, I guess. If you had to put it on there, he plays basically Randy Orton's character to a T. I mean, he's not like the Viper, and he's not the, legend killer, but he plays a similar role to a very good job. But other than that, I don't think in TNA, no one needs TNA. Like I said, Hulk Hogan, I don't even want to see him back for WrestleMania 30. I think it's pointless. I think that's a waste of, whatever amount of money they would pay him to get him on to do nothing. And, like, he can't work a match. He said that if he would work a match, it would have to be a tag team match. So, obviously, there you go. He can't work a singles match, and he probably never will ever, ever again, unless he gets to a point in his where he definitely needs the money, then he'll probably work a match. But overall, I just don't think that he needs to – I mean, I don't know what Hogan needs to do. Hogan needs to find another endeavor outside of professional wrestling. And I guess to go back to AJ Styles, if I'm TNA, if I'm Dixie Carter, I am begging and pleading AJ Styles to leave. I mean, he could go, like you said, back to ROH. He could go to All Japan, and make some money over there, and people would go crazy over him over there in Japan. There's options on there. Like I said, he could probably get a WWE deal. I don't know if he'd be straight to TV, he'd probably have to go to NXT at first. Everyone, there's no one getting a free pass these days. It's pretty much straight to NXT until you prove yourself. But overall, I don't think that he would be a good fit for the WWE because, like I said, he's just another mid-card guy that doesn't have main event talent that would just get lost in the shuffle.
We'll just bring up, as far as AJ Styles is concerned, there was a report out there today that, or I shouldn't say today, I believe it was late last week that came out that AJ Styles' contract is coming up. I believe it was in September, I want to say correctly, September or October. I know it was one of those 2 months. And according to the report, it said that that no negotiations had started yet whatsoever. There's somebody on a message board that I go on who does work for TNA. He works in their international department, and he's told us on there that it's for a Stone Cold fact, 100% guarantee that negotiations are ongoing. So take that for what it's worth. He says that while there's no deal there yet, they have been at least talking back and forth. I just started watching TNA. I shouldn't say just started watching. I mean, I pay attention to here and there, but for those of you who follow us at hgcwrestling.com, I've just started reviewing and going over stuff there 4 on TNA. I just started watching it the past couple weeks, and AJ Styles is easily my favorite performer there. Last week, obviously, I'm assuming most people have watched it by now, since it's a bit old, the pop he got for when he went through his Lone Wolf character, and then when his original music hit for the Phenomenal One, and taking off the hood and going back to the AJ Styles everybody was used to, was one of the loudest pops I've heard at TNA in quite a long time. So there's no doubt, I think, I would be safe to say, call him the number one face of the company. I mean, he's a guy that's been there through and through. He hasn't left. At this point in his career, I know he's a family guy. I know he's got a couple kids. I don't know if he's the type of guy that would want to go on the road and work the type of schedule that the WWE would probably want him to work. I mean, he's not going to come in and get a contract like RVD where he can show up at TVs and pay-per-views and maybe work like one house show circuit weekend a month and get away with it, because he's not a guy that's been there before. He's going to have to go through the grind. I would disagree with you, Cam, where you said I think he has to go to NXT. I think a guy in his mid-30s with a guy like AJ Styles shouldn't. And I think he probably wouldn't go to NXT. I think they'd probably take his time to introducing him, but I don't think he would end up going down to Florida at all whatsoever. But again, the thing is, what is he going to do when he comes here? I mean, we've seen, like we said, we've seen Dolph Ziggler all the time and do what he does, and he's only gotten so far to where he is in the company. And I almost see AJ Styles doing something like that, where he's a guy like Ziggler who can work a good mid-card match with The Shield. He can work matches with guys like Christian and Alberto Del Rio. But is he going to main event pay-per-views? Is he going to main event and wrestle John Cena and CM Punk? Well, we like to see that, sure, but do guys in the WWE want to see that? I'm not too sure about that. Like you said, as far as the sticking ship goes to TNA, I don't know who they want to sign up there. I mean, I'm a fan of Bobby Roode, but I don't think he'd do anything more, again, like a mid-card guy in the WWE. None of these guys are homegrown talents from the WWE, so it's going to be tough for them to get over and become more than a mid-carder, what if they ever were to get there if something like TNA were to fold. And, Cam, we don't have to beg anymore because we have a caller here. So I am going to go ahead and introduce this person. Area code 469, why don't you state your name and tell us where you're from and what your question or comment is.
I want to talk about the Paul Heyman. Oh, my name's Dustin. I want to talk about the CM Punk issue about Paul Heyman. And I thought he's going to get his hands on this past Monday, and I think it's kind of bullcrap that they attacked him, and I thought he was going to get his hands on Paul Heyman, but I don't know, so.
Okay. Thanks for your call. I'll put you on hold here real quick. Cam, and we're back to the HTC Wrestling Podcast. So hopefully we don't have to worry about going through the rest of that stuff later, because I'm not going to, because I've already been working with Raw Talk Radio for the last 20 minutes trying to get this reset for everybody. So we're back on. Myself and Cam are back, and you're probably going to expect something to go wrong with Raw Talk again. So we would like you to call in again. If you're still listening or if you got back on and listened again, we're back talking wrestling. The phone number once again is 818-532-9786. We had a caller earlier. I'm sorry. I've just been in such a visible mood now, trying to do a blog talk now, that I forgot his name. So thank you for calling. Hopefully we can edit this back up later. Matt, hopefully it got saved on there. Are we getting talk about TNA? And it gets moved back. We can edit that together with the rest of this stuff now, WWE. So if you want to call back in, again, 818-532-9786. We pretty much finished up everything we wanted to do, talk about TNA-wise. So we're going to move on to the WWE now. You want to talk Raw, SmackDown, NXT. You want to call and bash Blog Talk Radio, because this is at least the fourth or fifth time they've had a problem with this podcast on their site. You can do that too. So anything you want to do with that. So let's just move on, I guess, right away to what our caller talked about before. Our last caller talked about the Paul Heyman CM Punk story. And everything that happened on Raw, he thought that CM Punk was going to actually get his hands on Paul Heyman this past Monday on Raw, but it didn't happen, and they made it now a Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman against CM Punk at Night of Champions. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head if the Intercontinental title is actually on the line or not. But just to recap what I said, I don't know where I got cut off with Blog Talk Radio, so I'm just going to kind of repeat everything I just said earlier. Basically what I said is that if you want to see CM Punk get his hands on Paul Heyman, it's going to happen on a pay-per-view. It's not the kind of thing I don't think they're going to give away on TV they want you to pay for. They want you to pay to see CM Punk finally deliver the GTS to Paul Heyman. We kind of got a little of it at SummerSlam when you put the Intercontinental Vice on him, but Brock Lesnar kind of broke it up rather quickly. As I said earlier in my my piece that I wrote this past weekend on, I called my Road to WrestleMania 30, I kind of have it where Brock Lesnar comes back and wins the WWE title, CM Punk wins the Royal Rumble, and then you just go right back there with Punk and Heyman and Lesnar. And then you see at WrestleMania 30, obviously Punk finally gets to main event it and finally gets his hands on Paul Heyman and then presumably would win the WWE title. Cam, I don't know. I know you kind of tried giving your thoughts right away there and then got cut off by Blog Talk. So why don't you just comment on what our caller's question was about Punk not getting his hands fully on Paul Heyman this past Monday.
I know, Blog Talk really ruined our thunder. We had a call. Everything was going well. Yeah, thanks for a caller. I never got the name. I didn't hear it. Blog Talk screwed the all up. Like, they timed it perfectly. Yeah, I thought, like, we didn't really think they were going to keep going with CM Punk Paul Heyman. I know that I thought they were going to do that. I knew Curtis Axel. They're going to have some sort of player. I mean, what we didn't see, what no one's really talking about the end of Raw or towards the end of Raw is when Paul Heyman and Curtis Axel left and they got into a car and someone else was driving, you know, same thing when CM Punk got into the car, you know, he left and, you know, we found out, well, eventually, you know, Paul Heyman was driving. And that's when they revealed that. And, you know, if you notice that, it's like the little things that, you know, obviously there's someone else there. I don't know if it's Brock Lesnar, someone else driving them around or being maybe the whole mastermind behind it all. But I think that what they're doing is good. I think that if Curtis Axel can step up to the plate a little bit more, that this will come off a lot better than it kind of has been. I mean, Axel can move in the ring, but I think he should be a little bit more advanced on the mic by now. I didn't really like any of his promos. As Curtis Axel. I think, like you said, they're going to do it on pay-per-view. I think CM Punk will probably get his hands on Paul Heyman. I mean, I've read rumors that Brock Lesnar isn't going to come back until around Christmas or the Royal Rumble time, basically. So, I mean, if Punk gets his hands on Paul Heyman, you know, CM Punk's going to get a pay-per-view win. I think that's the only way they're going to do it, unless they reveal who is that person that was driving. But I don't know if they really want to put another factor into this feud that's already been boiling over for almost 2 years. And, what I had to say. Thanks for the call, and hopefully we get another call.
If anybody's still listening or they listen again, obviously I posted it on Twitter. I tweeted it at Pulse Wrestling, so hopefully you're listening again. I'm sure we'll probably get bashed on Pulse inside at some point by some commenters. But, that's kind of the thing I was trying to figure out here. I don't think we're going to get two or three pay-per-views out of CM Punk and Curtis Axel going one-on-one. So it's one of those things of where do they go next? The thing is that the pay-per-views in October is that they're so bunched together. There's Night of Champions, I believe, on the 17th it is. And then I think 3 weeks later is Battleground, and then 3 weeks after that is Hell in a Cell. So, I mean, if they want to and they really want to keep it together and not have CM Punk do anything else, they can do that where they have Punk and Axel wrestle a couple times. But I just don't think, like you said, Axel's there in the ring. I just don't know. His promo work doesn't work. And obviously he has Paul Heyman with him there to help out. But it's just not clicking all the way for me, at least. So it's one of those things where what could happen is, I could see, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Brad Maddox kind of made a stipulation where he said if Paul Heyman tries to get out of this match in Night of Champions, you won't, quote-unquote, see him for a while. So I could almost see something happening where you see Punk wrestle Axel and Heyman at Night of Champions. Heyman backs out, doesn't do it. And then you kind of see Heyman get fired or released or whatever, and he's off TV for maybe a month or two and isn't brought back to the end of the year at Brock Lesnar. Now, this plays into, like I said, in my piece where I did a Road to WrestleMania thing, this would play in everything, bits and pieces together over there. But like you said, maybe you move CM Punk on to the Wyatt family only because they have nothing else left to do right now. This is really nothing else for CM. I mean, I don't think he's going to wrestle for the world title because that would mean he has to be on SmackDown. CM Punk doesn't appear on SmackDown. But, I mean, unless you can think of somebody else can afterwards, you said maybe introducing another Paul Heyman guy to get the story going. But it would almost be like a repeat kind of what's happening right now unless there's somebody kind of a little better all-around performer, not only just in the ring, but also on the mic and just everything else, or Axel, where you could pair him with Paul Heyman and make it work. I mean, you got Cesaro now with Zeb Coulter, so that's not going to happen. I just don't see anybody else outside of the Wyatt family, unless you can think of somebody, Cam, that you would move Paul Heyman, or not Paul Heyman, CM Punk onto next. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that.
Well, I don't know if they're going to move them onto the Wyatt. I mean, I think they need to keep the Wyatt family away from a loss. I don't know. And CM Punk, I mean, at this point in his career, he can take losses. I mean, he hasn't won a pay-per-view match since Chris Jericho, if I believe correctly, and that, you know, it's been a little while. You know, he lost at WrestleMania. He lost to Brock Lesnar. I don't think they're going to put him with the Wyatt family to get the Wyatt family over. I think the Wyatt family, like I said, that's a slow burn. It's a real, 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 real slow burn with the Wyatt family, and it's getting over. I mean, I went to the house show, and they're freaking over his sin. And, you know, during her match with the Usos, who are supposed to be, like, a really big babyface, but the Wyatt family were pretty over. I think that, you know, if they want to really keep it going, I think maybe, you know, we get Punk and Axel, and then, you know, maybe Heyman gets out of it, but if Punk says that, you know, if he wins clean or whatever, if he wins that he wants, you know, Paul Heyman at the next pay-per-view or something like that, where they can just keep the feud going, and then maybe, like you said, take away Heyman from TV for a month, and then bring back Lesnar and somehow get him involved in the Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan feud. I don't know how, at this point, I don't really know how your predictions are going to come true, Justin, but, you know, wrestling changes pretty quickly.
Yeah, it does. I guess we can just basically pretty much transition into that main event feud. It's kind of something that I wanted to tie in with the CM Punk thing. Like, and it's actually about what I thought would get the most callers. If people are still listening, I thought people would actually call in and give their discussion points on it. And it's just obviously the whole main story going with Daniel Bryan and Triple H and everything like that. I thought they did a pretty good job, again, this past Monday. I know there are some people, and I know there's a very heated debate. I'm going to give a plug to a message board that I go on right now. It's called v-oratory.com. And there was a pretty good debate going on for the last couple of days about the Triple H's power pretty much overall. People saying that he's kind of neutered, quote unquote, the mid card, and just basically made him out to be these like people with no spines. And I disagree with that mainly because, like somebody said, at the beginning of Raw this past Monday, Randy Orton and Triple H still got cheers when their music came on. So you have to establish them as hardcore heels, but that they're firmly the heels in the story. And I think the more you have Boss, COO, Triple H, bossing everybody around and doing that, I think it's better for the story and it's stamped as heels in the big grand scheme of things. I mean, obviously people like us know that they're heels, but the casual fan kind of still sees Triple H has been the babyface the last 4 or 5 years. The same thing with Randy Orton, the one that's been the babyface the last few years. So I don't have a problem with the story playing out the way it is so far. I think, like I said, you have to establish Triple H as the guy that is the bad guy boss. He goes by his rules and doesn't hear anything from anybody else. So for now, I don't have a problem with that. If it continues longer than maybe for the next few weeks, I would say, okay, maybe it's getting to the point where it's stretching too far. But I just think now, like I said, you have to establish where Triple H is in the story and what his motives are, and this is it. So I don't know what your thoughts on something like that would be, Cam. I don't know if you think Triple H is kind of, like I said, neutering the whole roster and just making them out to be kind of weaker than it should be. Like I said, I don't have a problem with that. I don't know what you do.
That thought actually never really crossed my mind. I think that he's just kind of doing it to Daniel Bryan in general. I don't think he's trying to put, you know, Punk and, I don't know, Fandango and the other, like, mid-card or the other guys that, you know, have, like, the same build, I guess, as Daniel Bryan. I think they're just directly going towards Daniel Bryan. I think I kind of disagree. I think that, especially with Triple H taking away his basically his most known entrance song and going back to like an older one, kind of is like how they're really trying to get the heat brewing. It's like they're taking away what the fans want to pop for. You know, the fans are used to time to play the game. You know, and they stand up and cheer. You know, he took that away from them. I think he, you know, is doing a great job. I mean, I'll get into my main pet peeve of this whole angle going on here in a second. But I think overall, I mean, I know what you're saying. The casual fans kind of didn't really get to see. I mean, I think the heel turn was pretty good at SummerSlam. I mean, it was expected, but wrestling is supposed to be logical and good. So, I mean, I would really have a problem with it overall. And I think that's a pretty good sign of, you know, Triple H and Randy Orton turning heel. And, you know, they pretty much beat that whole ending in the SummerSlam into your head. I mean, if you watch Raw, SmackDown, Main Event, anything, I mean, you've seen that, you know, 5 or 6 million times by now. So, I mean, if you don't know Triple H and Randy Orton are bad guys, then I don't know what your problem is. My main whole problem with this whole feud is the Shield. I mean, I was at the Raw the night after SummerSlam. The Shield came out during a commercial break, I'm assuming, and, you know, so people popped. But then they were out there for the last segment. It was like there was no explanation, you know, to why the Shield is with them. You know, they're fighting injustices, and, you know, they've been doing, you know, things like that. And I don't understand the logic behind Daniel Bryan wanting to be the WWE champion in Injustice. I mean, there was no, hey, I threatened these guys. You know, I told him I'd beat him up or anything like that from Triple H or Vince or anything like that, saying I'd fire you guys if you didn't be our lackey. I mean, they're making the Shield to be out to be like a lackey group right now, and it's really, 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 really bugging me. They're stars on their own. I don't necessarily think that they should be in there. I'm hoping somewhere down the line, once the feud starts to break up a little bit, where the Shield kind of goes against Triple H, and maybe they bring in the Wyatt family to, you know, wrestle the Shield at a pay-per-view or something along those lines. But my main overall thing is there's no logic behind the Shield being with the corporation, if you want to call it. And I hate that they're basically treating them as lackeys. I mean, Blake and Randy Orton and Vince, Stephanie are not even really giving these guys recognition. It's kind of just like they're guys off the streets. And I think that's just, I mean, they're trying to build stars. And I know at the end of the day, Daniel Bryan's going to be like, you know, the guy that come out as like the next big star, but they're pretty much burying the Shield right now.
Yeah, I kind of agree with the point where you say, like, what are their motives, especially because, obviously, you know, the wrestling fans, obviously, the WWE doesn't try to make you think that if you think past 2 months or 3 months ago, but it was only a couple months ago where when Vicky Guerrero was still in charge of Raw and Triple H was talking about how he wanted Vicky to get control of the Shield, how they were just running rampant all over the show when there was no consequences for him. And now all of a sudden, Triple H is a heel, and it's okay now, and now they're just obviously, I guess you want to call them his hired guns or something like that, but I kind of agree with that point where, like, what is their purpose? I mean, yeah, they've looked strong in the last couple weeks, and they've actually have been involved in Main Event angles, something that was kind of struggling with them for the last month, where it's kind of there with the Usos and Mark Henry and not really getting in the spotlight like they should. At least now I think they're getting that spotlight, and they're being featured, as you said, prominently in a Main Event feud, but we just don't know why all of a sudden what's changed in Triple H other than the fact that he's a bad guy now, so now he must think it's okay for them to do what they've been doing. But kind of going back, I think the one thing with the mid-carders doing what they're doing is I think what's going to happen is when eventually somebody does finally stand up to Triple H and goes and helps Daniel Bryan, they're going to be over more than anything. I mean, watching Raw this past Monday, you saw what happened when their crowd was sitting there and people actually chanting for Big Show. When was the last time you heard a Big Show chant on WWE TV as loud as that was? I mean, you're never going to see something like that. And I think that also just plays into the fact of how over Daniel Bryan is right now. So I think once you see somebody finally stand up to Triple H, whether it's Big Show or whether it's Dolph Ziggler or for some reason, whether it's The Miz, one of those guys, and they all just do it together, it's going to get that person over more than it has been. It's kind of where I tried tying in my CM Punk thing left, or what does he have left for Paul Heyman? I could almost envision a scenario where, as much as I think it's best to keep your two top baby faces right now, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, involved in separate programs, like I said, unless they introduce another Paul Heyman guy to kind of keep the story going a little bit, I almost don't see how you couldn't get CM Punk involved in this story. And one scenario that I played out in my head is where I think you could easily see something along the lines of maybe the night after Night of Champions, where, let's say, Paul Heyman somehow gets fired for backing out of the match against CM Punk. And then the crowd, the wrestlers are sitting there again on the ramp watching Daniel Bryan get beat up. And you hear CM Punk's music hit, and he walks. And you know his history with Triple H from a couple years ago. He just walks right past Triple H and goes helps Daniel Bryan. And then you see other guys like Big Show and Ziggler and Miz follow suit. And then you play off right there. Then you can see a bunch of different matches, whether it's Dolph Ziggler and CM Punk against the Shield, or maybe, I think Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton are probably going to main event the next couple pay-per-views down the line. But then you have an immediate kind of five-on-five match where you could do either at Survivor Series, or if the WWE decides to go all out and actually do a War Games match, you could see that happen too. And then there's just plenty of things you can add into down the line. And again, I hate to keep writing and telling you to go read my article about New Order WrestleMania 30, but it kind of ties into everything I want to do here. Then if Paul Heyman gets fired, you can have somebody like Triple H or Vince McMahon bring him back with Brock Lesnar and have Brock Lesnar be the hired gun to get the WWE title off of Daniel Bryan at the Royal Rumble. There's just so many different ways a lot of this story can go right now. So I'm curious to see where it plays out, and it looks like I may have lost Cam again, and now he's back on. But, okay, Cam, we got you back now there. But, yeah, like I said, there's so many different ways the story can play out. I don't know, Cam, if you heard my point about CM Punk maybe getting involved in this down the line and just what your thoughts on that would be.
I like that idea. I mean, I think that definitely would entertain it. I mean, like you said, they're in two separate programs, so you're kind of trying to run two different paths. I mean, they've been teasing Big Show and Mark Henry joining up with Daniel Bryan. I mean, Big Show has that ironclad contract he could always pull. I don't know if they are going to use that, but, I mean, he's been teasing it. I mean, they almost teased a Triple H Big Show match, sort of. I mean, like it was 2005 again. It would be nice to see CM Punk go down there and team up with Daniel Bryan, I guess, basically, and have someone else, you know, like Dolph Ziggler go down there, and we can have, like, a six-man tag match and or something along those lines. But I think, like they said, they'll probably go Mark Henry Big Show just to give Daniel Bryan some veteran baby face to help him put him over. Because the WWE always seems to think that, you know, these guys that are clearly over still need that something else to help them put them over. And so I think they're probably going to go that line. I mean, they've been doing that at the house show and working those basically six-man tag matches at the end of the night. We're turning into that. But I don't know. I guess we'll see, right?
Yeah. I almost think it's also kind of the thing where I think somebody's going to have to get added to that quote of that new corporation stable at some point. I mean, obviously, you know, the guys in the Shield can work a match for pretty much anybody in the card. And then you have Randy Orton. I almost think if Triple H isn't going to wrestle at all, I almost would like to see somebody else kind of get added where you have the group in the Shield and the main guy, Randy Orton, and maybe some type of mid-carder. I don't know who it would be. Maybe somebody like The Miz. Maybe Dolph Ziggler turns heel again, but I don't think that's going to happen. So I would like to see something like that down the line as well, maybe just to get the whole group back together. I think at some point you're going to see, I don't know about if you think the same, Cam, Daniel Bryan and Triple H are probably going to fight somewhere down the line. I don't know whether it's going to be at Survivor Series, at the Royal Rumble, anywhere, one of those two. Do you think we're going to see that match? And if you do, it's going to happen, maybe where it will happen?
Yeah, I think eventually we'll see Triple H and Bryan. If your predictions come true, it probably won't happen, but I'm assuming that we're going to see Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan, just like you said, a couple of favorite views. They're going to do something, and then the title will be on the line in Survivor Series. We'll be able to do some sort of, you know, hopefully War Games or just a five-man elimination tag match would be nice, you know, Survivor Series after all. So they'll hold off the title there, and then, you know, they can do some sort of title match at TLC where Bryan can maybe actually win it, and then, you know, they'll fight again or something along the lines of Royal Rumble. You know, who knows what would happen. I mean, I'm assuming that if they're going to keep going this way, I think we will eventually see Triple H, Daniel Bryan, maybe at the Royal Rumble for not the WWE title, but Daniel Bryan as the WWE champion. I mean, I have no idea what they're going to do, but I think eventually we'll see Triple H Daniel Bryan. But if we do see that, I'm kind of scared how you said Triple H and Punk have crossed paths, and Triple H, you know, basically buried CM Punk at SummerSlam. I don't know if we're going to see that happen. I hope Triple H would be smart enough to know that a company he's basically running needs to have another big star that will draw them big-time money, so he needs to put Daniel Bryan over. I hope he realizes that, and I hope his ego, Stephanie's ego, and Vince's ego don't get in the way of that happening. But, yeah, eventually I think we'll see it. Maybe it's probably the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that point. It's one of those things where people obviously, you know, on the internet, Triple H kind of gets a bad reputation about, you know, with the whole not being able to put people over and burying people backstage. And there's a lot of it that's justified. I mean, we've seen it happen, especially, I think, I always like to point to the Booker T example at WrestleMania 19, where Booker T probably should have won the world title, and he didn't end up that didn't end up happening. But there's been times before in the past where you've seen it with guys like Batista and Chris Benoit say that name kind of quietly so nobody says anything, but he's put those guys over, so we know he's not afraid to do it. And like you said, I think it's one of those things where, like you said, he's a business guy right now, and he's out there with Daniel Bryan for every segment, and he sees the reactions that Bryan is getting from the live audience. So I think without a doubt, if he knows what's good for business and doesn't want to kill all Daniel Bryan's momentum, he would put Bryan over no matter what type of match he's in. Now, if they're going to have multiple matches and maybe fight, like you say, at the Royal Rumble and then have their big main blow-off with more things on the line at WrestleMania, then okay, maybe you see Bryan or Triple H go over via some weird means at the Rumble and then Bryan gets it on the big stage. But I think long-term, like you said, the one thing that I like about the storyline right now is there's so many different variables that you can play into it, and there's just so much going on where one thing can happen and the other thing can change, so we don't know what exactly is going to happen next, and that's really why I'm liking what's going on right now with the product as far as what's going to happen, where is it going, who's going to wrestle who. I just think that it's just so great to see how Daniel Bryan's pretty much gone from mid-carder at WrestleMania and just elevated himself these last few months to this main event feed where he's probably the most over any wrestler has been in a long time. I mean, you look back to CM Punk, and even during his run when he came back, I don't know if he was as over as Daniel Bryan is right now. And it's just something that's great to see from a wrestling standpoint where, like I said, Daniel Bryan's the top star in the company. So who knows what's going to happen next as far as that goes. But Dan Cam's lost again. Ladies and gentlemen, the wonders of Blog Talk Radio. This site has just been great for us the last few weeks. So we'll see if Cam gets back on. I can't wait for Matt to try to edit this episode later. That'll be fun for him. So we apologize to that, to you guys from now on. We'll try to do a better job with this next time we do a live cast. Maybe it won't be on Blog Talk next time we get this back to you because it's been so hard. We've been recording all of our top five shows on Skype the last couple of days or the last few times we've done that, and then Matt uploaded them to the site. So we'll see what happens with that from there. We pretty much got all of our points across, I think, with the whole CM Punk falling in the story and with the Daniel Bryan Triple H WWE title, whole power struggle story there. The other thing I really wanted to touch on tonight was the AJ promo from this past Monday on Raw. I know it's been getting a lot of buzz around wrestling viewers. I think it's one of those things where you look out, watching it live, I loved it. I mean, it was pretty much everything I thought of when it comes to the whole Total Divas stuff. And you got people like AJ, who's a good wrestler and can work in the ring, and she's not being featured. Obviously, like a lot of people have said, you could tell it's being filmed for an episode of Total Divas because all the divas from that show were strong in the ring and just watching AJ talk. So you definitely tell it's part of the new season they're filming. It's almost one of those things, though, where I'm kind of surprised WWE went where they went with this, especially because you don't really see them bash and stuff from time to time. That's kind of what AJ was doing, even though she was playing the heel role in that situation. But I just love going out there watching AJ, seeing what's doing what she did. I think she's probably one of the better female workers they have right now. I'm assuming it's going to be to a mess for down the line with Natalya. I don't think any deal in that group that you would trust to have a match with AJ, maybe Naomi. But, you know, Natalya's got the ring experience. She knows what she's doing in there. So I just want to touch and say great job to AJ Lee with that promo delivery this past Monday. It's one of the best promos I've seen from a diva in quite a long time. And I just love seeing AJ out there every single time because, what can I say, I think she's the best-looking diva out there as well. So that's pretty much all I've got this week. We apologize once again to all of our listeners who were calling, and I apologize to our caller. We got cut off halfway through his call. We get a caller, and, of course, the site crashes. So, you know, what can you expect? When things are going well, they just go and just do stuff like that. We will be back next week again. We will have a top five show. We have not come up with a topic yet, so as soon as we do, we will let you know on our Twitter feeds. So next week's show is a top five show. We record a live on Blog Talk. Like I said, this may be the last show ever on Blog Talk, if we can find a site and if we have any say about it. So thank you for listening once again. We thank you. If you try calling in or listening, we apologize. Like I said, I can't apologize enough for all the problems that have gone on tonight, especially because I think Cam and I were really hitting the stride early on the show, and then it just kind of crapped the bed. So thank you for listening once again. I am Justin Stawalka. You can follow me on Twitter, at JCWonka. You can read all of my live Raw reviews every Monday. I usually have a column up every weekend, and I review NXT and Impact on HTC Wrestling for the site. So you can watch all of our stuff. My Twitter, like I said, at JCWonka. Matt Herrick is our leader, our host, our editor is at Matt Herrick. Cam is at Cam Daugherty. You can follow all of our stuff there. Pay attention for the next top five, what the top is going to be, where our next live show is going to be, because we don't know where it's going to be at this point. So if you are actually still listening out there, I want to thank you for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed the two separate shows that we did here tonight, and I hope you all have a good night. If you got a fantasy football draft coming up this weekend like I do, I wish you the best of luck, and we will see you again next week.